This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now.
Please help me welcome our guest, Spencer Delisle, to the show today. Spencer is a global meditation teacher, executive coach, and the president of the Art of Living Foundation Canada. For over 20 years, he has helped thousands, from executives and first responders to elite athletes, achieve peak performance and inner peace through breathwork and meditation. With a background in neuroscience and high-performance training, Spencer has coached athletes and amateur professional levels, integrating mental conditioning, recovery, and flow state practices. Trained by renowned humanitarian Gurudev Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, he has led programs in over 25 countries, working with leaders from major corporations and governments worldwide. Spencer's career began in oncology and cardiology research before transitioning into human development. He now collaborates on research exploring how meditation supports mental health, including PTSD and anxiety. A dynamic speaker and former global event MC, Spencer's mission is to make resilience, joy, and purpose accessible to all, bridging science, leadership, and spirituality. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to When Spirit Calls. I am so happy to be here, as you know. I get so much out of these experiences. I love meeting new people. And today, I have the privilege of spending some time with this lovely fella named Spencer. Hello, Spencer.
Hi there.
I'm so happy that you're here. You know, I learned a little bit about you and I was like, oh, this is so perfect. I want to talk to this human. I want to know the story. So I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you so much for taking time to be with all of us.
My pleasure. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. And thanks so much for creating this amazing community of inspired people and inspired stories and getting to the root of what it means to live an inspired life and be human. It's incredible. Your podcast is really, really something amazing.
Thank you so much. You know, I felt Spirit call me and it says, you're going to make a podcast called When Spirit Calls. And I thought, okay, well, I better listen to that one. And so here we are. And, you know, I think it's a beautiful reminder, you know, Spirit's always calling us. It's whether or not we're listening. And so I would love to hear your story and how you listen to Spirit calling you to get you where you are, because you're doing some really incredible things. And I want to know all about that. But I want to know how you got there first. Can you share the why story? Like, what got you here?
For sure. So usually I love the way the founder of the Art of Living, someone had asked him once, his name is Gurudev Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and they asked him to introduce himself. And he says, actually, that's what we do in the Art of Living. We introduce you to yourself. And that is really, I guess, the crux of what I'm up to these days. And I think, like many of us, it started from a young age where, for me, I grew up in a Christian family, and that's my heritage. And I had this painting of Jesus with children in my room. And whenever my parents would scold me or I would get in a fight with a friend or my sister or what have you, and I wouldn't be feeling too well, I would just come and sit with that painting. And I would just feel so good. I don't know what it was, but almost like a presence, you know, you could say a spirit, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I mean, years went by and, you know, I lost track of where that painting was. And I went through a period of my life of disillusionment, I would say. I was very fortunate enough to have success in my academic pursuits and in my career. And I was originally a nutritional biochemist working in the laboratory, doing my best to mix the test tubes and not burn the place down. And sometimes more successful than others. But that question came, you know, wow, is my life supposed to be this monotonous routine of getting up, you know, stressing out and rushing myself to work, spending most of my day with my colleagues and very little time with my family at home, and then just getting up and doing the whole thing all over again. So this led me down a path of, you know, trying to figure out the answers to those bigger questions, you know, like, why are we here? You know, what is this life? And I didn't know a solution, but for some reason, I had this inner calling. I was in Toronto at the time, and I had this inner calling to kind of go back to where I was born, which is Montreal, and go back to school. I knew that wasn't the answer, but these questions, and I was kind of a dark time for me, and, you know, the traditional, you know, medical route was not serving me too well. So I saw a poster that said free meditation. So I thought, okay, I quit my job and I'm a student, so it's the right price. So let me give it a shot. Yeah, I was very intellectual sort of a person. So I had read a lot about meditation and breathing and, you know, different spiritual practices from many different disciplines. And of course, Ayurveda as well, which is a healing system from India. And I attended this meditation and I felt very peaceful after doing this guided meditation that was guided by the Art of Living Club there at the university. And it led me to take the Art of Living Part 1 course, where I learned this technique called Sudarshan Kriya. Sky breath meditation. And this was a remarkable technique. And that, for the first time in years, I was actually able to settle my mind. And I mean, for some of us, you were born like that. But, you know, it's a natural thing. It's very easy. But at least for me, I was just living in a war zone that was my own mind.
Wow.
Yeah. So doing this technique and having that relief after doing that practice was a game changer for me. And then I ended up going to our retreat center in Quebec, where I actually live there with my wife now. And I ended up meeting Gurudev Sri Sri Ravishankar, the founder of the organization. And when he was giving, you know, some knowledge, he was answering a question, I actually felt that same presence that I would call it now, as I felt way back in the day when I was a kid sitting with that, you know, painting of Jesus and the children. Wow. So I thought to myself, okay, wow, there is something here. And since then, I've become a teacher. I actually quit my job and I've been a full-time teacher with the organization since 2008.
Wow.
And now I find myself as president of the Foundation for Canada. And we have an incredible executive team and amazing teachers that are sharing this wisdom, doing numerous beautiful Seva projects across the country. And we're a global foundation. So we're in 186 countries, over 40,000 teachers, including our events and our programs. 800 plus million have experienced the Art of Living. So it's an incredible impact. And we're not so well known, actually, in Canada and in the U.S. So we're doing our best to join hands with like-minded people like you.
Yes.
And see how we can make this world a better place. Yeah.
This is actually a double full circle moment, by the way. So first of all, I want to thank you so much for sharing your beautiful story around the painting of Jesus and that feeling that it evoked. And then coming into this Art of Living space and connecting with that, because that's to me, that's like, that is when spirit calls, where that then when at least we notice it so clearly, it's like, oh, I remember this feeling. There's a connection here. So I love how you brought that full circle. But even more than that, you know, I used to run a company called Your Holistic Earth, and it was meant to be a holistic healthcare system to really match the providers up with the public and, you know, fill in some of the gaps on our existing healthcare system. Now, it was a bit ahead of its time, I think, But we grew it to thousands and thousands of people. We grew it internationally. And in that, I met some people from the Art of Living.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yes. And so we promoted some events for the Art of Living.
Incredible.
A bit of work together with the Art of Living. And then I came into a crossroads. At some point in time, Spirit said, okay, you know, you're doing a lot, but you're barely getting by. Because at that point, I was giving it all away, you know, really, really managing, you know, thousands of members. It was like herding cats, you know. And so, and I was always also doing spiritual work. And so I was guided to make a decision. I hit the fork in the road, you know. I had to now make a decision. Which direction am I going to take here? And Spirit said, you're going Spirit. You're going to go teach. This is what you're going to do. And I listened into that. And ultimately, I actually gave that company away in a contest. So that's what happened with that company. So I did a Willy Wonka style contest. And people had to come and do certain things and do different tasks over the course of a few months. And then at the end, I picked a winner. And so that's how that shifted. And so the Art of Living kind of just faded away into oblivion. And now here you are back again.
Look at that.
I think that's so brilliant. Right here in real time, Spirit's showing us something. And I totally had forgotten about it. And as you're talking about it, I'm like, oh my God, this is the same group that, you know, from years ago. Anyway, I just think it's so brilliant and so lovely. And it's a reminder for me too, to get back into more of these community-based programs and events and things like that. So I think that there's more for us to talk about on that front. We'll save that for another time. What I would really love to express to our audience is to talk about, well, what does the Art of Living really mean? Because I hate to say it, Spencer, but I don't think most human beings are actually living. I see a lot of people who are so conditioned, so locked into fear, so swallowed up in all of the things that they've been told and forgotten who they are. And so I know my work is about helping people to remember who they are. And you so beautifully said at the beginning, oh, no, I'm going to introduce you to yourself. You know, hey, that's part of this. And so I think we do the same work, but in different ways. Mm. I'm curious to know, what are the things that you feel people really need to know right there, right now? The people that are out there spinning their wheels, feeling, oh, this is just Groundhog's Day, and this is the way that it has to be.
Right.
What do we need to hear?
Well, what a great question. And I think it's definitely a calling of the Spirit that we've had all these beautiful synchronicities, so to speak, that have just happened, that suddenly we're here talking with each other. Well, I think it's not easy to be, you know, a human being these days. You know, we live in a very different world from our childhood.
Yes.
You know, I think of my childhood and I remember going to my grandparents' place and there was a rotary dial telephone there. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had so much fun as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I mean, eventually.
I mean, it took 10 minutes to call somebody.
That's it. That's my point. Like, if you're a teenager trying to use that thing, I mean, you're cursing the people that have zeros in their phone number. But, you know, kind of all kidding aside, you know, that was a different time. And, you know, you called someone and they weren't home or they weren't at work at their desk. Well, that's just the way it is. It was, you know, like that just meant you weren't going to talk to them in that moment.
Yeah.
And you fast forward to the lives we live now. Wow. I mean, of course, technology has brought us many gifts, you know, the speed of communication, the fact that we're in two opposite ends of Canada right now. And we're able to exchange and do this incredible conversation is superb. But this idea where, you know, we're reachable kind of at any time. If someone texts you, particularly at work, and you don't respond in a few minutes, the stress that goes with that. And now after, you know, this whole lockdowns and everything that we went through, you know, the workday has no longer 9 to 5. you know, it's expanded out of this. And then, okay, well, where is my family time and where is my work time? It's kind of all mixed together.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, you know, it's, you're draining people of energy left and right. And when your energy is so low, it becomes very difficult to make decisions and, you know, to be able to think critically about what you want to do, to be able to see the forest from the trees, so to speak, because we're all in this fight or flight. We're all in the lizard brain, the amygdala.
Yep.
And there's such a high level of stress, you know, in our own lives and on the, you know, on the news and the media, all that kind of thing, that our cerebral cortex is shut down. There's too much cortisol. It's blocking the neurons from connecting. And so we're stuck in this very monotonous, low energy, reactionary sort of a life. And we don't often see a way out. So, I mean, the first thing I would say is that, you know, to be able to see yourself from a bigger context would be a wonderful one. I mean, in the Art of Living, the fundamental principles, they come from the Vedas, which are a secular wisdom. And, you know, they describe the human being having these seven levels to their existence.
Okay.
So the first level is the body. So we all know the body. Body is important. We need to take care of our body. If you have a sore back and you're sitting too much, well, maybe you got to work on your glutes and you got to do a little more standing up. You know, maybe
as I strain my back, yeah.
So, like it or not, you know, we're not just talking heads, and yeah, we have a body, and it's so important. It's such a beautiful, incredible creation. So the body is important. We got to keep a healthy body. The next, a little more subtle than the body, is the breath. So, you know, why is the breath important? Without our breath, where would we be?
Not here.
Not here, exactly. We would not be here. Yeah, we would be more on the spirit spectrum. Yeah. Things. And so the breath is actually the connection between the body and the third level of existence, which is the mind. The mind is kind of like the projector screen for everything that's happening around us. The senses, the five senses, take in everything and project it onto the mind. Our mind. Our mind can be busy, our mind can be calm. But a very powerful way to stop that stressful vacillation of the mind is with the breath. And if you like, we can go into that a little bit more later. So we had body, breath, mind, and then the intellect. Intellect is deciphering everything going on in the mind. And if you observe this, the intellect often is agreeing or disagreeing. So I'm speaking right now, and you know, you're agreeing maybe with some things, maybe, oh, I don't know about that thing, agreeing and disagreeing based on our experience. And then after the intellect, we have the memory. So the memory is kind of, yeah, that storehouse of, yeah, our past experiences. And interestingly enough, often the reality that we live is often clouded by those experiences from the past. You know, you get in a breakup in a relationship and you wear one pair of glasses. Then you get, you know, fired from a job, another pair of glasses. Then you have a fight with your spouse, another pair of glasses. And suddenly it becomes very difficult.
Yes.
You know, to see things as they are when the memory is clouded. So the memory, yeah, we have very beautiful techniques for being able to cleanse the memory. So instead of just, you know, maybe forgetting where our keys are, we can not only remember where our keys are, but we can drop the things from the past that are not useful to us and be able to, you know, remember those things that actually enhance our present moment and push us forward. So that's the fifth one. The sixth one is the ego.
Ah, good old ego.
Exactly. So ego is that, okay, well, you know, it could be like, I am the best and everyone is lower than me. Can also be everyone else is great and
suck. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I'm terrible. I suck, all that. So it can be that, or, you know, a healthy ego can be that all-encompassing ego. When you see someone, maybe they drop their groceries, and you have this feeling within you, oh, I feel for that. I have to go help them. So you help them put their groceries back in the bag, you know, because you don't feel separate from them. You feel like, right?
Yeah.
So that all-encompassing ego. And then the last and the essence of who we are is that spirit, the self, the spirit. Yeah. So, and that is the source of who we are. And that is who we are, that joy, that enthusiasm, that love, that intuition, that creativity, that fountain of joy and energy that these different practices allow us to dip into and that totally revitalize our whole system. Just by touching and spending even a few seconds or a few minutes within that spirit. And yeah, principally what we do in the art of living is we allow people to learn some different practices, techniques, wisdom, to allow them to cleanse those different levels of their existence. So more and more they can experience the joy of living from the spirit.
I love it. And I like the breakdown too, you know, the seven components. And oftentimes we bypass breath, you know, and yet it's such a fundamental piece, isn't it? So, okay. So basically, you know, these seven facets of our being, I would imagine that you guys work through different components and teachings on each one of them. But for today, because we're limited on time, you know, I'm curious to know what would be the main fundamental one or two that you think are game changers. Can you let us in on that?
100%, 100%. So, I mean, you know, you've got to meet yourself where you're at, in a sense. And, you know, when the mind, we notice one thing, and maybe you've noticed, we've all noticed this in our life at some point, that when we're stressed out, the mind tends to vacillate between the future and the past. You know, like you're stressed out, you're overwhelmed, your energy's low. Yeah. What happens? Well, often if your mind goes to the future, you know, what kind of emotions come up? Well, you can feel fearful, you can feel anxious.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things can come up. And when you're in that state of overwhelm and your mind goes to the past, all kinds of things can happen. You can feel angry, regret, all these types of things. And it's not just, doesn't just go to one place and stay there. It's just bouncing.
Like a ping pong game or a pinball game or, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just bouncing back and forth. And it goes from like, you know, your hands get cold and clammy, you know, almost like you're going into the freezer in the future. And in the past, you're getting angry, regret, you're all heating up, you're going into the oven on this side. And it's like, you know, if you've ever had a pizza when you come home, a slice of pizza that's been in the fridge, you know, you put it in the oven to heat it up, it gets too hot, you put it in the freezer to cool it down, and then you put it in the oven again, it got too cold, and then you put it back in the freezer, oven, freezer, oven, freezer, oven. It's no wonder people are sick these days. So to your point of one game changer that would make a difference, I would say two things. There are two aspects of our existence that are always in the present moment. And those are the body and the breath.
Right. Oh, okay. Love that.
So, perspective.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, if you think about it, can the breath be in a moment other than the present moment? Not really.
No.
Like, can I say, okay, I breathed enough today. Let me start again on Saturday. Save myself some time. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Save myself some time and energy. No, of course not. No, the breath is always in the present moment. Always in the present moment. So that is the beauty of the breath. And there's a beautiful anecdote that I really love about, it's actually about a beggar. And this beggar was sitting under a tree for years and years and years, just begging to get by, whatever that beggar could use just to get by. And then that beggar ended up passing away. And at the end, when they were clearing the spot, where the beggar was sitting, they dug up a little bit of that ground and they found a huge treasure sitting underneath the beggar and his spot. And, you know, this is interesting because his life could have been completely different had he have realized the wealth that was sitting right under his nose.
Right.
And that is really the wealth that is under your nose. And that is
quite
breath.
Literally. Yeah.
Quite literally, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing, right? It's like neither at home nor at school have we learned how to manage our mind and emotions. And have we learned, that connection with our breath. So being able to learn, you know, some techniques with the breath can be very helpful. We could even do one if you like.
Yeah, let's.
Should we do one?
Yeah, let's do one.
Okay, great. So this one is called straw breath.
Okay.
So we actually do this. We work with veterans and active military personnel. We also work with professional athletes that get in very high stress, anxiety producing situations. And this technique is very, very, very good for calming anxiety, calming the nervous system down. In fact, it's kind of like you're plugging in to your autonomic nervous system and you're flipping the on switch for your parasympathetic nervous system. So you're kind of rest and digest system.
Okay.
So this is rejuvenation. This is settling yourself down. And I'll demonstrate it first and then we can do it together.
Okay. So
if you could see the video, if you're not listening to this on audio, we'll explain now. So what you do with the straw breath is that you're breathing in through the nose and you're breathing out through the mouth, exactly, almost like you were breathing out of like a Tim Hortons stir stick, like a very small straw. So your lips are pursed and you're breathing out. So the out breath is much, much longer than the in-breath. So you breathe in and then out through the mouth with the pursed lips, breathing out in a long, steady stream. Until your lungs are empty, you breathe in again through the nose and out through the mouth, pursed lips, long, steady stream.
Even in just those two breaths, I already feel a shift in my physical body.
Yeah. So this one, you know, usually we recommend, you know, to do like 9 breaths, 10 breaths, to start to really feel the benefits. But it's true. Even after just a few breaths, you can start to feel yourself calm down, feel the relaxation take place. And you know, you can even do this technique in a very much more subtle way, and no one will ever really even know you're doing it. You know, say you've got to do some Zoom presentation and, or, you know, before you walk into, you know, a room where you're going to have a challenging conversation, do a few of these breaths, settle yourself down. And instead of being in this kind of reactionary mode, you switch into a mode where you're calm. You're more centered. And then when you're more centered, effectively, it enables you to listen to spirit and to be guided in terms of where you want to go, what you want to be, and what you want to do and say. Yeah, we say in the Art of Living that these techniques and practices we do, they improve 3 aspects. One is your perception outside of you, your external environment. 2 is the observation of yourself.
Yeah.
Being a witness, exactly that. And then the 3rd is your communication, your expression. And effectively, if you talk to any high-level athlete or musician or what have you, and you ask them about, you know, an incredible experience that seemed like otherworldly that they just performed, many, many times they'll respond with, "I feel like it just happened."
Right.
Right? And it's almost like they were just letting that spirit take over and just, you know, be fully expressed, so to speak. And that is the experience of being in flow or being in the zone, is being able to be that, you know, kind of hollow and empty vehicle for that spirit to be expressed in its full blossoming within you. And when we do that, incredible things happen. And in fact, we also have a program for children. It's called the Intuition Process, or Pragna Yoga. And this is a process where people are listening to that spirit, listening to that inner voice, and letting it guide them, you know, in terms of many different incredible activities that they're doing. I mean, the program itself is meant for kids to be more confident in themselves, to have more energy, to be able to have a better memory, better focus. That's the main goal. Be better human beings. That's the main goal. But some of these talents that come out in the kids are incredible. I mean, they can read blindfolded. They can play video games with their blindfold on. They can ride a bike with the blindfold on. It's incredible, you know, the possibilities that become available to us when we clear the mind. We were able to drop our concepts, which is, you could say, the advantage that kids have over us. I mean, we have many concepts about what we're able to and what we're not able to do, what's possible and what's impossible.
Whatever conditioning we've had,
Exactly. You know, and we've had so much of it, you know, and it continues on, you know, continues on these things and all over the place. And the kids, I mean, the kids often, healthy kids, they're just wide open.
Right. Yeah.
So it becomes much easier for them to learn these practices. And it's so remarkable that now we're doing research on it with an institute that we've created called the Institute for Absolute Intelligence.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So it's the AI Institute, but it's a different kind of AI.
Yes. Well, I've been joking around. I'm like, it's inner technology that we need right now, right?
That's right.
Like, outer technology is great, but inner technology comes first. And I feel like that's what you guys are about. Yeah.
That's exactly it. So it's incredible what is possible. And now there's a documentary that's being done on this. There's a lot of research being done on this. And I mean, I feel that, you know, just as, you know, back in the day, you know, one of my grandparents was a physician, and he's an incredible man, you know, did so much good in the society and took care of so many people, but he was much more, you know, kind of brass tacks. You know, it doesn't exist if I can't see it.
Right.
I will feel it.
Yes. You know, tangibly. Yes.
That's tangibly, right? Yeah. And that was, you know, you could get away with that, you know, back in the day, because that was a lot of how we lived our life. But now, you know, even just a simple example like the cell phone, you know, you've got a gross and a more subtle aspect to it. The gross aspect, of course, is the screen. And then the subtle aspect, in the case, of course. And then the subtle aspect would be like the Wi-Fi.
Right.
Or the signal or the software.
Sure.
But, you know, can you see and touch and feel the software or the signal? Yeah. No. You know, this is how the phone works. So just as that was such a foreign concept back in the day, I really feel that with time and practice, you know, these ancient, you know, Vedic practices that are really incredible, the results they can, you know, that they can have, they'll also, science will catch up and be able to share. And I would say it's a different kind of science. It's really the science of consciousness, actually.
Yes.
Science of spirit, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that you came from that medical background, much like me, right? I came from healthcare and was all science, right? I needed evidence, you know, and I was hardwired for that. So when I had my near death and I was like, holy crap, I went to heaven. So I got to experience heaven, and that just shattered my whole construct. And so then, you know, I spent so much time kind of trying to figure out, okay, why am I here? What's the meaning of all this? And is there something beyond that I have completely missed, you know? And so that's a, like a little snippet of my backstory. But, you know, I think the work that you're doing is so critical more now than ever. I think our children need this. Why it's not in the schools, I still struggle with. You know, I know people have fought for it and it still hasn't happened yet. But don't give up because, you know, you guys are changing lives. That ripple effect is massive. So, Spencer, we're kind of coming to the end of this, and I feel like we're just skimming the surface at the same time. I think I might have to have you come back. But before I go into how people can find out about the workshops and things, because I know we've got a lot of parents listening, and they're probably thinking about their kids for this too, as you mentioned, a final kind of word of advice or anything else that we didn't cover that you're like, oh, I really want people to know this.
Yeah, thank you for that. And yeah, it's been such a joy to have this conversation. And yeah, I'd also love to hear more of your story. It's such a fascinating story, a near-death experience that changed your life. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, these programs we have for all sections of society. I mean, we have the part one course for the general public, for adults. We also have programs that we do in schools called Sky Schools. People can look up the website, skyschools.org. We also do general public programs for kids and adolescents. Kids courses, Art Excel or Art of Excellence. And then the youth empowerment seminar. And I mean, yeah, we also do courses with police and veterans and really across the society, physicians. We have our corporate program with a sister organization, TLEX Institute. So really, you know, an opportunity for people to learn in all these different contexts. And I would say if we can leave people with one thing, would be to see how you can just, you know, take some time for yourself and dedicate whatever it is, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes to yourself, even if it is 2 minutes.
It's
because I think, yeah, we're often serving everybody. You know, at work, we're serving our clients and our colleagues. We come home, we're serving our partner and our family. And then one very important person gets left out.
Yeah.
And so being able to take some time for yourself, you know, whatever lights you up, maybe that's journaling or maybe that's going for a walk in nature in a beautiful, you know, country and planet we live on. Or maybe that's, you know, doing some breath work or learning some meditation or what have you. Really taking some time for yourself would be important. And because, you know, I mean, the whole motto of Art of Living is that we want to create a stress-free, violence-free world. And, you know, in order to do that, we need to all join hands. And your internal environment is a reflection of your outer environment and vice versa. So we can flip that script. And by cultivating that peace and connecting with that peace rather within, we can kind of be that lighthouse in this society. And in fact, I'd like to take this opportunity as well, not only to invite, you know, people to our Art of Living programs, our website's artofliving.org, but also every 5 years or so, we have a big celebration. It's called the World Culture Festival.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So another one of our beliefs is that life is a celebration.
Yeah.
And we believe that, we need to celebrate diversity.
Yes.
And in a world of like so much, you know, strife and division, you know, since 2000, well, really since the starting of Art of Living in 1984, when Gurudev started this whole movement, that has been, you know, really the driving force is creating kind of connecting everyone and celebrating that diversity. And so we started in 2006. We had our first one in Bangalore, India. Then we did one with 70,000 people in Berlin at the same Olympic stadium that, you know, Hitler officially was kind of launching, you know, his war there. Whoa. And we kind of, once again, we flipped the script and had this incredible celebration of peace and love.
Love it.
It was incredible. And then we did one on the banks of the Yamuna in Delhi in India had 3.75 million people come together.
Wow.
Which was incredible. And then we just did one in 2023 in Washington, D.C. on the National Mall.
Wow.
Yeah, we had over a million people come. We did, I believe, the largest meditation in North American history was done. And it was incredible. We had 85 food trucks with food from all around the world. We had 17,000 performers from all over different parts of the world singing and dancing to show that, you know, we may eat different food, we may look different, but we are one humanity. We're one spirit.
Oh, we need more of that. Please, 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 so, please.
Yes. So the invitation is this. Canada got selected for 2027 to host World Culture Festival.
Wow.
So we're going to be hosting it in Toronto, and we invite everybody to come. It's going to be an incredible celebration, and it's going to be like the Olympics of culture, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's going to be a beautiful opportunity for people to come together and showcase, you know, the way that they connect with spirit and the way that they uplift themselves. And yeah, we're looking forward to an incredible celebration. We really hope you can all come join us.
Well, that's going to come up fast. I know. Time is ticking. So get that out there. Wow. This has been so wonderful, Spencer. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing on behalf of all of humanity, because we know that we need this unifying field more than ever before. You know, I've said this before on the podcast. You know, someone said, well, Judgment Day is coming. I said, no, it's Compassion Day.
Oh, beautiful.
Way where we fall away from judgment.
Wow.
We come into deep, deep compassion for all. So that's what I think is on its way here. And it might take a little bit of crumbling to get there, but we're doing it. And, you know, for people like you and like me who are willing to be way showers and willing to stand in that light, you know, even though it can be scary, even though it can come with judgment and condemnation in different ways, you know, I think that is setting the way for our children and setting the way for the rest of humanity. So thank you so much for coming on the show and enlightening us. The art of living, you guys, this is what we should all be leaning into. Don't you want to live? I know I want to live fully every day. Spencer,
amen.
Final closing out words for our listeners today.
Wow. Yeah, listen to your heart. Listen to spirit. You'll never go wrong. And I think now more than ever, this is the time to give yourself that opportunity and that moment of peace so that you can really live your true life's mission. And yeah, I thank you so much. You know, Dee, being a lighthouse for that wisdom and being able to give people give them that opportunity to say, oh, wow, I deserve to be able to take those moments so I can take a chance and listen to that beautiful whisper that's coming in such a soft but powerful way from within.
Yeah. It, you know, oftentimes it does come in so subtle, right? And that's why we miss it, because it's an invitation for us to be in a bit more stillness, right? To be able to receive it. Oh, thank you so much, Spencer. This has been
lovely. Thank you, Dee.
And thank you to our beautiful audience out there. I hope that you feel a bit inspired today. I hope you got some reminders to really lean in and listen for when spirit calls, because it's always calling, folks. Until next time, be well. Bye, everyone.
So happy you could join us today. And we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca. And when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.